We are finishing up the series called Sticks and Stones. Now let's finish the phrase together. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, right? That's a lie from the pit of hell, isn't it? Like, words are dangerous. Words can hurt, and they do hurt. They actually hurt worse than the scars and wounds that we may have on our body. And so we are talking about this whole idea of sticks and stones, the power of words, that words have power. And so we want to use them well. Now, today's the last in this message, in the series. And so as we finish it up, I hope you have your notes with you. If you can't see this screen, those of you online, you can see the screen. Those of you, I will repeat my fill in the blanks, okay? So that you can write and take notes and follow along with this morning's message. So we are having kind of a key passage for this whole thing, and it's Proverbs 18:21. It says this, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." That's the power, right? What we say has immense, immense power. And so we want to use our words well. We want to use them very well. And kind of one of the main points for the whole series was that our words determine the direction of our lives. That what we say will point the direction of where we go, right? It'll determine the impact in our relationships and the friendships we have or the ones we don't have, the ones that we ruin, right? And the ones that go great. And it determines the direction of so many things in our life. And so we want to use them really, really well. And we want to be sure that we get it right with what we say and how we speak. Now, with this message this morning, I want to talk about some psychology. Anybody excited? Everybody love psychology? Woohoo! Back in the day, and he did this test with a dog, and he learned something about dogs, especially. Right? Anybody have a dog like that? Like the moment the food comes out, it's just a mess. You know, just like they get really excited and they're hungry. And so he was doing this test with his dog continually, like seeing what would happen with the dog's reaction every time food came out. Boom, food would come out, immediate, the dog would just start salivating and getting like really excited. The food's coming. And so he was trying to see, you know, with a dog, there's this natural reflex, this natural conditioned reflex that happens. The dog doesn't think about it. It doesn't have to be like, okay, the food is coming now, so now I will start my salivation. Like, he didn't think about it. It just happened right away when it happened. And so he was trying to see if he could change the conditions and to see if the dog would start to salivate for something else. So he started to introduce a bell. So every time he would bring the food, he would ring the bell, and immediately the dog would start salivating. And so he kept doing that and repeated that over and over, and he changed the reflex condition of the dog, because then what he did is took the food away, and all he would do is come and he'd ring the bell. And there's no food around. What do you think the dog did? Started salivating. Because there's this natural reflex that dog has learned. When I hear a bell, there's food. And so now it's been conditioned to something that isn't real. It's a bell. It's not food. See, the thing with a dog like that, dogs are creatures of habit, you know? They have these routines. And the reality is all of us are wired similarly with our brains, that we have routines that we don't even understand when we do it and why we do it. It just happens, right? These natural reflexes and conditions, when something happens here, this is just what I do, and that's just how it works. And you kind of get natural in doing different things and having automatic responses to those things. Our staff just finished a book called The Power of Habits by Charles Duhigg, and it's a really good book talking about that, how habits work and how our brains are wired, even the chemically how our brains are wired when it comes to just repeated things in our life. There's habits that happen. There's actually one story in there that talked about a habit loop. There was a gentleman that ended up having some kind of virus in his brain, and it started to eat parts of his brain to where when they finally brought healing to it, he had lost parts of his memory. And so he had no short-term memory. We might call it today the Dory syndrome, you know, from Finding Nemo. It's like he couldn't remember, you know, what happened 15 minutes ago. He can remember, like, from a certain history and time in his life and past, but everything past that, it was new every single day. I couldn't imagine living like that. And so they were trying to study him and how his brain worked. Because if he couldn't remember how to do things, how would he have habits that are healthy? So this guy, he knew what hunger felt like. And so when he was hungry, he went into the kitchen and he ate. And so every morning for breakfast, he would get hungry. He would go in, make himself bacon and eggs, eat, and then go and start watching TV. And all of a sudden, he'd get hungry and he wouldn't remember that he already ate breakfast. And so he would go back because the hunger was the trigger. Boom, I'm going to go make myself breakfast. And so he might have four breakfasts in a morning and not remember any of them. You know what happens when that happens, right? You start getting fat. So I can imagine having short-term memory, then all of a sudden looking down, whoa, what happened? You know, like your stomach's big all of a sudden. And that was going on because he had this condition, just hunger, boom, I go do this. And it created a habit loop. We all have things like that in our life. We don't even think about it. It's just we do the next thing or there's something that comes up and then boom, we just do the automatic habit that kicks in. For some of us, those habit loops are dangerous. Some of them are just normal life, right? Some of them are addictions that create habit loops that we just go back to something over and over and over again. For some of us, morning coffee, your coffee in the morning is a habit loop. You don't even think about turning on the coffee maker. All of a sudden it's on, right? And you have to drink it and you're like, I don't remember making this, but now I'm drinking it, you know? Those kind of habit loops happen. Have any of you ever driven somewhere and then forgotten how in the world you got there? Has that ever happened to anybody? Like, when my wife and I were dating, she lived 2.5 hours away from where I lived. And so every weekend, I would drive down to near Dayton out in Cedarville. And then I'd pick her up, and then we'd drive back to Worcester, bring her back to her mom's house. And I drove that every weekend for I don't know how many, like at least probably 2 years. And it created this habit loop of just, that's where my car knew where to go. It's like the horse knew where to go, right? The horse knew the trail. And I remember one time it was late. I dropped her off on Sunday. I had to get back to go to work on Monday. And we were in that, like, we didn't want to leave each other dating stage. So it was like we'd stayed together as long as we possibly could. And I probably left at midnight to drive home 2.5 hours, get home 2 a.m, then get up at 6 a.m. And I could do it because I was in love, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? The thing is, I remember there are multiple drives where I don't remember how I got from Dayton to Findlay. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just drove that whole time. I don't remember, like, I was awake, I was listening to music, but it was just a habit that just went on autopilot, and I just went. See, sometimes it can be dangerous, right? Sometimes when we don't remember stuff that we need to remember. But our brains are wired in these situations just to create these natural habit loops. They can be good, they can be bad, they can be dangerous, and yet we want to be sure that what we are wiring our mind to do, these habits that we create, are actually producing things we want in our life, right? We want to have natural reflexes towards the better things in our life. Here's my first point, if you want to write this down. It's this, is that what we allow in our mind, what we allow in our mind wires our mind and directs our lives. What we allow in our mind, it wires our mind, meaning it creates habits, it creates mental cycles, it creates loops, and then that directs our lives. It points us in certain directions, our habits. And so we want to be sure that what we're putting in our mind is the right thing. I don't know if you've ever heard of the phrase, garbage in, garbage out, right? If you're filling your mind with junk, if you're filling your mind with senseless things or meaningless things or garbage all the time, what's going to come out of you? Garbage. I mean, it's just going to come out of you, right? If you put good things in the right things, if you put scripture in, if you put healthy relationships in your life and your mind, good things come out. So what are you putting in your life to have the good, healthy habit loops? Or what is in your life that creates the bad natural reflex in certain situations and in relationships, and especially as we're talking about in our words? What do we do? We all have so many influences in our life, right? We have family. We have families of origin. Like the family you grew up in will probably determine some of this. If your family was extremely negative and pessimistic all the time, most likely you're going to grow up to be pretty negative and pessimistic. That's going to be your natural reflex because you were conditioned all growing up. So when negativity comes, you easily jump into the party because you know how to do that, right? Or it can be good. It could be you grew up in a family that spoke encouraging words and continually blessed you and wanted the best for you. And then as you grow up, you give that back. It comes out of you. It becomes the natural reflex of your life. Maybe for some of us, it's our friends and the friends we hang around with. You know, last week we said that bad company corrupts good character. You know, whoever you hang around with is going to influence you one way or another, whether it's good or bad. Media is a huge one, right? Whatever media we allow into our minds, what we watch, what we listen to, will come out of you. You know, if Right now in this season, especially, I call it the critical political. Because any political statements are usually critical towards something or somebody. And so if you constantly listen to the political conversations that are happening, you can become very easily a critical person. You can become critical of the people you don't like and have reasons why you don't like them, and then be critical of you know, decisions that leaders make, and you can just start to jump into that party because you're letting that in all the time. You're wiring your mind to be critical, especially during this political season, right? So what you let into your life will come out of your mouth. Now, here's the good news. A part of the Christian life is allowing God's grace to recondition your learned reflexes. Isn't that good? Like, a part of our Christian life is growing. It's allowing the grace of God, which God's grace is awesome. God's grace gives us what we don't deserve. That's what grace is. It's all of God's blessings, presence, salvation, forgiveness, his grace that we don't deserve. We have now inherited it. His grace, all of that allows us to be reconditioned in the things that we don't want in our lives. We don't want those habit loops. We don't want the thinking that's stinking, right? We don't want the words that come out that destroy and tear other people down. So God's grace reconditions our natural reflexes and moves us towards his desire in our life. We can be changed. We can put off the old self and put on the new self by his grace and his mercy. His grace is giving us what we don't deserve. His mercy is him taking what is should be our punishment on him. It's us not getting what we deserve. That's what mercy is. We deserve judgment for our sins. We deserve condemnation for it. And God says, no, my mercy, I'm going to take that from you. I'm going to put that judgment on my son, Jesus. It's the great exchange. Jesus takes all of our sin and in turn, with his grace, then gives us all of God's blessings. Isn't that awesome? Amen? Who wants that? Yeah, that's the great exchange of the Christian walk. It's changing us and making us more like him. It's moving from cursing to blessing. See, we have to do this because our natural reflex, we've been reading some pretty hard verses. Last week we talked about, you know, we were supposed to bless those who curse us. That's not natural, right? That's like, I want to curse those that curse me. I want to judge those that are against me. You know, I want judgment on them and the thing that we rewire in our mind is that we bless those that curse us. That's not easy, right? Right? When somebody hits us on one cheek, we turn and give the other. That's not natural. That's not a natural reflex. Oh, okay, sure. This one too, you know? Like, that only comes through the grace of God changing us. When we learn to forgive those who sin against us, when we learn to love our enemies, these are not natural. These are supernatural. And they only come through the power, grace, and mercy of God in our lives to learn then how to give it to others, right? Is everybody with me? So let's recondition our minds here a little bit because I want us to learn how to move from cursing to blessing, all right? Move from cursing to blessing those around you. You can write that down as a fill in the blank. Let's move from cursing to blessing those around you. Move from cursing to blessing those around you. That's the main point this morning that I want to teach us how to do is transition. I won't turn that way. It's to transition and learn how to do that, how to do that. So I just got three simple things this morning, and then you all are going to be brilliant at it, right? You all are going to take it home. You're going to be like, yeah, cool, this week I'm blessing. And I'll pretend that happens to make me feel good tonight. And then we'll leave from here. Sound good? Okay. Does that sound good? Yeah, is everybody with me? All right, now this morning, I don't have one scripture. This morning is tons of scripture. And so I put all the scriptures on your sermon notes so you can go back and read them. Some of you who have an app, you can pull up your app as I read each of these passages, read along. I'm going to be reading them from my screen because there's a lot that we're covering in this as this flow of the three things. I want us to understand how to do this, how to move from our natural reflex of cursing others or wanting to judge or wanting to, you know, have vengeance, all that kind of stuff, and moving to blessing others, even those that are difficult to be around. All right? So step number one that we need to understand with learning how to move in towards blessing. Number one is that we receive God's blessing. Number one, that's the first step. We receive God's blessing. I'm going to read a couple of passages. I'm actually going to switch them up a little bit, and I'm going to start in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 6, and we've actually read this passage a lot during this COVID season. We used it a lot when we were just online only. Jim shared it in one of the worship moments, And because it's a powerful word of blessing. There's a song that was written by Carrie Jobe and the Elevation Worship Team called "The Blessing." And some of you have probably heard that online and streamed it. Like, it's a great song, and it's scripture. I mean, that's the whole lyrics, and it's based off of this passage. And in this passage, we see God talking to Moses, and Moses saying, "Give this to Aaron," and this is what you're supposed to say to the people of God. So in the Old Testament, the people of God were the Israelites, right? And they were freed from Egypt in slavery, and now he's leading them towards the promised land, and he wants to speak life over them. He gives them the Ten Commandments to say, this is how you relate with me and each other, and then this is my word over you. And he gives them this blessing. This blessing is so good. It's so powerful. This is what it says in Numbers 6, 22 through 27. It says, the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." Verse 27 says, "So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." We learned a few weeks ago when Jim taught about blessing and cursing, that blessings and cursings last a long, long time. This word of blessing to the Israelites is still present to his people, to God's people that he's chosen, right? And this blessing also goes towards us, all of us who have been adopted into God's family. And so when you read these words of us and them receiving God's blessing, he's giving it to them. He's like, let them know that I'm with them. I want to keep them. The Lord, I'm going to make my face shine upon them. I'm going to be gracious to them. I'm going to be looking at them. I'm going to give them my peace. Now, if I ask you, do you want that spiritual blessing? What would you say? Absolutely. I want that God's word. I want that over me. I want him to speak that over me. Here's the good news. He already did. He already did, and then he completed it in Christ Jesus. We've already received all those blessings. They're already yes in Jesus. Because we move to the New Testament, and we see the receiving of God's blessing in Ephesians chapter 1. It says this. Let me go back one. Ephesians 1 verse 3. We see this encouragement, the blessing that we have received. It says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with what? With every spiritual blessing in Christ." We have received every spiritual blessing. Access. Again, that's called God's grace. Say that word with me. God's grace. It's us receiving what we don't deserve. God's blessing, his grace, all of his righteousness, all of his blessing, all of his peace, all of his presence with us. All those spiritual blessings from the heavenly realm. That's why I always say, I want a little piece of heaven in this broken world, right? I want those blessings in my life and in our life so that we can live them out and show people who Christ is and experience every single spiritual blessing. So that's the foundation we need to understand of this whole idea of blessing, of moving from cursing to blessing. We have received blessing from our heavenly Father. He's already given it to us, and we have full access to every single part of his heavenly blessing. If you agree and want that, say amen. Amen, right? That's the good news. That's the gospel. That's that been the exchange of what Christ has done for us so that we can receive that blessing, that grace in our life. So if we've already received it as Christ followers, the next step that we need to understand is that then we have been given authority as Christ followers to give blessings. Okay? That's the next fill in the blank. We've received it, and now we have the authority to bless others. We, as Christ followers, have been given that authority from the heavenly realms, from our heavenly Father. He has given us this. Now, I want to look in Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 10. And you may want to go into this passage. You can read it later, the whole chapter, if you want to see what's going on. Because in Matthew chapter 10, again, Jesus, all through the Gospels, we see him being our example of what it looks like to have a relationship with the heavenly Father, how to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we see he's with these 12 disciples. And in this part of Matthew 10, he's about to send the 12 disciples out to different towns without him. And he is blessing them with the power of the Spirit. So the Spirit now is going with them in a new way that they haven't experienced before to now go minister in those towns all around to prepare the way for when Jesus shows up in each of those towns to hear the good news of the kingdom of heaven. And so in this sending, we see they have already received, you know, the blessing of Christ. They're already walking with him. And then he gives them the directive of how they're supposed to do it, how they're supposed to be sent away from him and then into these towns to prepare the cities for everything that's happening. So we get into Matthew chapter 10, verse 11 through 15. Okay. If you're with me, say, yep. All right. And those of you online, you can say yep to Jim as he's chatting with you guys this morning. So this is Jesus. Whenever we see Jesus' words, our antennas go up. We're like, okay, what did he say? What did he mean? And what does that mean for us? Okay. So this is what he told them. He said, whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay in their house until you leave. I don't know what worthy means. It probably means somebody outstanding in that community, right? Like somebody who has a good reputation, somebody that people look up to. He's telling them, go find a good person in that town and stay with them. Like invite yourself in, which is interesting. He says, as you enter the home, give it your greeting. Or another word there might be your blessing. So put your blessing, take it with you and enter in that home and now give that house your greeting, your blessing. He is giving them authority. He's sending them with his word, his power, the Holy Spirit, to bless whoever they're staying with and greet them in that moment. And he says, and if the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. And if it is not, let your peace return to you. This is interesting, isn't it? He's like, go, enter into the home and let your greeting, let your blessing enter into that home with you and be with you. So when I hear that, I go back to all the promises that I see in Christ Jesus, that means peace, that means protection, that means health, that means like all of God's blessing I'm bringing into this home, and I've been given the authority to bring it to this home. And then he says, if it's worthy, let your blessing rest on that home. And when you leave, it stays. There's something powerful in that. We don't think like this today, do we? We don't understand that giving a spiritual blessing is a spiritual impartation. There is something happening in the spiritual realm when blessing comes from somebody to somebody else. Things that are unseen that can be left on somebody else that they then can take with them, they can have in their home and in their life. And so he's saying, if it's good, let it rest there. Let your blessing stay in that place, your peace, God's presence, protection, let it be. But then he says, if it's not worthy, he says, like, pick up your blessing, put it back in your backpack, and on your way, right? That's confusing, isn't it? Like, how do I take it back, you know? I'm going to tell you how to do that in the point number three, okay? Because I believe that blessings come through words. They're spoken into existence. You know how we talked about the power of God's word, that God, when he speaks, he spoke things into existence. When he speaks, we see God's word, the scriptures. When he speaks, things happen, things change. And we have been given, because we are created beings made in the image of our Heavenly Father, when we speak, things happen. And so when we speak blessing, when those words come out of our mouth, they go out and do spiritual things in a realm that we may not see or understand. And so to take it back would be like, you have to speak that out loud. My blessing is coming with me, and it's not resting on this house, and then leaving. I would hate to be that house. They'd be like, where'd the peace go, man? Our kids were like quiet, everybody was getting along, and then Peter left, and boom, all heck broke loose again. You know, it's like, what happened, you know? Verse 14, then he keeps going, says, and if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. That's how serious Jesus gets. He's like, if there's no welcome, if there's no invitation into that home or into that town, they don't get any blessing. The blessing didn't come. It didn't get taken. He says, when you leave that town, shake that dust off. It's like, blessing gone. I'm on to the next town. And they don't get the blessing of God's presence. And then it says it's worse to be that town than Sodom and Gomorrah, which got destroyed by God, by judgment. Like, because they wouldn't receive the good word. They wouldn't receive God's presence. They wouldn't receive God's peace. And so that blessing didn't even enter in. I believe that there are families who, by their lifestyle, by their choices, by their words and by their actions, create a barrier to God's blessing. Sin is a barrier to blessing. always was, always will be. When we choose continual active sin, that creates a barrier. It creates a wall to our Heavenly Father. When we pray, it says it actually creates a barrier in our prayer life if we continually live in that sin. And so maybe we're praying, it's like, I don't understand what's going on, I'm trying to pray. It's like, well, you have unconfessed sin in your life. You're not right with God. And so you have a barrier. Repent of that sin, walk towards God, and then He will hear and turn His face towards you, and you experience the blessing that He has. So He's saying if the whole town is just sin and they don't want to respond, they didn't even get the blessing in the first place. Just move on. It breaks my heart. I know so many families like that. You probably know people like that. Even when you try to bless them, they have nothing in them to know how to receive it. And they just won't. See, this passage, some people take this passage and they say, well, that was just for those specific disciples in that specific time. Like, this isn't for all of us. Meaning, like, that assignment was specific and we don't get to do those kind of things. I lean more towards this is God's directive towards His disciples. And when we accept Christ, we are part of His disciples. That we can do all the same things that the disciples did. Actually, Jesus says, you will do even more by the power of the Spirit than He did on this earth. So I believe we, as Christ followers, have been given the authority to spiritually bless others and to even remove blessing if it doesn't rest on them with our words. This is powerful stuff, isn't it? Not too many preachers talk about this kind of stuff. We don't think about this kind of stuff. We just use words. I want us to use our words well. Okay? So number one, we have received God's blessing by His grace. Number two, and then we are given authority by that blessing we received, then to give that blessing, to share and bless others. Now, let's get really practical, okay? How do you do it then? How do you do this? How do you live this out? Number three, I'm flying right through this. You all following along? Number three is this, we then bless others with biblical truth. That's our part. We receive it. We've been given authority by God, and then we bless others with biblical truth. Why do I say biblical truth? Because if you bless somebody with truth, the blessing is real. If you bless somebody with your own hopes, that's all it is, right? If you bless somebody like, you know, I bless you to win the lottery next week and give me a portion, right? Like, that's not biblical. That's not in there, right? Or if you rub a certain statue the right way and bury it in your backyard, then you receive something. Like, that's not spiritual. That's actually the opposite of God. That's idolatry. And you actually remove God's blessing when you worship something else, or you wish upon something else, or you think something else is lucky and you bring that into your life. Like, this is my lucky thing. God's like, no, it's not. You don't need luck when you have God's blessing. You just need God. And God is way better and greater than any other thing that you could put your hope or trust in, because He will never fail you, right? So we then want to understand, how do we bless people with biblical truth? How do we get the spiritual impartation and exchange happening? How do we use Scripture to bless others? I've had to learn this. As a pastor, I pray a lot. And I pray for people a lot. And usually when I'm in crowds of people, it's always like, oh, the pastor's here. Pastor, would you pray for us? Right? It's like, it's just like a part of the job, you know? Sometimes I think I should wear the collar, you know, with the black and the white, and just so people say, holy one, you know, Father, whatever. I love it when people call me Reverend. I'm like, don't call me that. That's not my name. I'm Tim. Hi. I'm a fellow sinner seeking a Savior, just like you, right? Like, don't position me that way. We all have equal access to the Heavenly Father. We'll have equal access to pray. But in my prayer life, I've learned when I'm praying for people, my prayer life has changed on how I pray for people. Because before, if somebody came up and I have a prayer request, and be like, okay, let's pray for that. And I would just pray for that specific thing and say, in the name of Jesus, amen. And I would end there. And God has shifted my thinking. I read a book a few years ago called Double Blessing by Mark Batterson. And it's this whole idea that the blessings you received, we flip the script, and then we bless to bless others, right? We receive blessing to bless others. And he was talking about the power of ending every prayer with a blessing on that person. And so now every time I pray for somebody, if there's a need, if something specific, I then flip it. If it's a hardship, if it's something, and I flip the end of the prayer, and I just pray blessing over those people. And my prayer doesn't change that much in those blessings. I always pray for peace, because who wants peace? Everybody. We've been given it, we receive it, now we can give it back, right? if it's physical, I pray for the blessing of healing. I believe God is a miraculous God and he can do miraculous things. I've seen it. I've prayed for people where there has been physical healing. I'm like, wow, God, I pray for people where there hasn't been. So that's up to God, but I have the power to pray it. I have the power to bless them with that. I pray for unity so much because so often I see the enemy's work of disunity. So I pray a blessing of unity over people's relationships and homes. And all these words that I've learned how to pray blessing over at the end of every prayer for somebody are straight from God's word. They're biblical. And so because they're out of scripture, I know they're a part of God's promise. I'm not speaking Timisms, you know? I'm not coming up with my own, well, I hope this happens for you. Amen. You know, that's not it. I'm doing a spiritual impartation of God's blessing into that person's life. It's not selfish. It's not trying to be like, feel like you have power over somebody, right? It's not false humility. It's just wanting to bless others. So I want to read some scriptures, and I'm just going to read these out loud. I think they're all, you have all the notes of all these passages, but I want you to hear some themes of these blessings in scripture, okay? And start like having your ear tweaked to, okay, there's a blessing. Oh, there's a blessing. There's a word. And just start maybe even writing down if you want to, start hearing some of those words of blessings. And by the end, we're going to have a list of things that we can spiritually bless others with. So here's a list of passages. Those of you online, you can see it up on the TV here. Romans 15:13. And maybe for some of you this morning, maybe you're here and life is crazy. Maybe you're here and you're trying to figure some things out of what's going on. And maybe for you, you just need to receive these words of blessing right now. You need to let God speak these over you, over your heart, over your mind. And maybe start to change some things inside of you. So if you need to receive this, and maybe those of you online, you need to receive this, you may want to just close your eyes and say, God, I want to experience this in my life. Okay? So if that's you, I would encourage you, even hands open to God, like, I want this. Here's some promises through the New Testament of words of blessing. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 3:12-13. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you may be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. 1 Peter 5:10-11. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. And 3 John 1:1-2. To the elder, to my friend, my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you will enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting well along. Did you hear some themes over and over again? Did you hear some words that kept getting repeated? All of these are blessings from God himself. Words like, I love the last one, 1 John, writing to his good friend Gaius. You know, he's like, this is what I pray for you. I love those words. I pray that you will enjoy good health. You know, some people say like, I don't want to pray for good health. It sounds selfish, sounds whatever. Like, no, pray for it. I pray for it every single night for our family. I say, God, I pray that you protect us. I want his protection around us. And I always pray, God, and I pray that your protection and your you'd keep us healthy in all ways, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. It's okay to pray for health, right? That is a word of blessing over somebody. To pray for peace, the receiving a blessing of restoration, of God's grace, of his mercy, of encouragement, of hope, of strength, of love. All of us want these things, don't we? And when we learn how to receive them, it gets so much more fun to learn how to give them, how to bless the people around you. And those blessings can come in so many different ways, but I believe that they come from our words. You can't go pray by yourself for somebody. Yes, that's fine. That's called intercession. They aren't hearing your blessing, but you're praying it to God. That's good. Do that. It turns the script 100% in a more powerful direction when you pray to God with that person and they get to receive the blessing that they're hearing you pray to their Heavenly Father. That's a whole nother level of intercession, right? Because now they are the recipients of it. When you bless others with biblical truth, spiritual things happen. God shows up and hearts start to change. Circumstances start to change. You have the power in your tongue of death and life. This is life. This is God's life. So this week, I'm going to encourage you guys, find somebody to bless. Find somebody to speak God's truth over, to give them the words of encouragement, to give them words from Scripture. I just gave you a bunch, so just use them. Just pull out a sheet and say, okay, I'm going to pray this over you. And just read it. That's fine. It's the words from your mouth, your heart, with that person in blessing, right? That's the power of blessing. So we're moving from cursing to blessing. All right, so first we've what? We've received God's blessing. Everybody say that with me. We have received God's blessing. Number two is we have been given authority, right? We've been given authority to bless others. We received it, now we give it, and then we learn to bless others with biblical truth. We speak truth that lifts up and builds people in the kingdom of heaven. That's what Christians do. And I'm going to encourage all of us in this season. This is one of the craziest seasons I've ever experienced in my entire life. And I would say most of us in this church probably, right? Just words are used in such destructive ways, careless ways. Let us look different. Let us look completely different than the world we live in this season, especially as the political critical is going to grow, right? That's just going to get worse. Let's not be the political critical. Let's be the Christ followers who bless. And the natural reflex of cursing somebody, especially those you disagree with, imagine what they would think when you in turn just bless them. What if you prayed a blessing over that political party or that leader that you hated? Some of you are like, now you're going too far, Tim. Right? But that's where the rubber hits the road. That's when we learn how to love our enemies. That's when we learn to bless those that curse us. Like, that is flipping the script of the gospel to somebody else. By the grace we received, we're willing to give it to somebody else, even if we disagree, even if we think they are doing evil. God, I pray that you would grab their hearts and grab their attention, and they would experience your blessing in such a way that something might change in their life tomorrow, right? That's a much more powerful word than, God, I hope that person dies. Hope they don't get voted in. I hope da-da-da-da-da, right? Let's bless instead of curse. Let's use our words in the right ways. God, I thank you for this word this morning. I'm grateful that you've given us everything we need. You've given us the access to every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, that we lack nothing, and we have everything we need. I pray, God, that you would challenge each of us as Christ followers. Challenge us to do the right thing. Challenge us to change our natural reflex in difficult circumstances. Teach us to learn to bless others just as we've been blessed. Now, I have a few questions, like I do a lot of the times at the end of messages. And these are just personal reflection questions for you, okay? When it comes to your words, what is your conditioned reflex? Like, what just naturally comes out of you? Think about your family. Think about, like, is it pessimism? Is it negativity? Is it positive thoughts? Is it, like, what's the natural reflex that comes out of you? Is it blessing or is it cursing? Where are those times that you find yourself thinking harshly about somebody? Like, what is it in that person? What is it in that circumstance that makes you, boom, just go straight to that? And for all of us, we have homework this week. Who can you speak an encouraging word or blessing to this week? I want you to write down a name. Who this week are you going to choose to go speak a word of blessing to them? Somebody that needs your word of encouragement. Somebody that needs to hear something good from you and from God. Write down a name. Some of you are like, I'll do this every day this week. Some of you are like, okay, I'm all in. Some of you are like, I got to pick one person this week. Dang it. You know, that's just pick one person. And then go do it and see what God does and see how he shows up. Okay? Look for those opportunities. Now, for some of you here and some of you online, maybe you have never actually received God's grace to begin with. You can't give it if you haven't received it, right? And the only way you receive God's grace is by confessing Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's by accepting the gift that God has handed to us. The fact that God loved us so much, he sent his Son from heaven to this broken world so that then he would die, live a perfect life, then die on a cross. And in that death, he paid for our judgment. He paid for our sin. That's the great exchange. He took everything we deserved upon himself on the death, on the cross, all of our sin. And then he conquered death 3 days later, rose from the dead so that we can then have life. And in that moment, now the exchange has happened. Now everything from heaven and every blessing has been put into our account. So all the negatives have been taken out. All the positive of God in heaven has been given to us and salvation. If you haven't received that, you can't give it. And so I don't encourage you today to take that step, to receive and accept the grace of God, to confess Jesus as your Savior, and to start that journey of learning how to walk in the good things he has for you. And so I'm going to pray in just a moment. Those of you online, you can join us in this prayer. Those of you here, if you want to take that step today, I'm just say, pray these words. This is a powerful word of confession to God, inviting him into your life. And I always say that it's not the pastor's magical words that get you saved, right? That's not how it works. It's your confession. It's your heart. It's your lips that confess it to God and ask him to enter into your life and to forgive you. And then he starts changing things right away. And you can experience a peace like you've never experienced in your life before. So I'm going to ask all of us, if we just bow our heads and pray, and if you want to take that step, I'm going to ask you to pray this out to God, your own words. And you can repeat it after me if you want, but you can make it your own words. So let's pray. You can say this, say, God, I believe you sent your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for my sins. I don't deserve it. It should have been me paying for my sins. But I confess that Jesus took my sins on the cross, and I ask you to forgive me, God. I want to receive the blessings and the forgiveness from heaven and receive your righteousness right now. I want to receive the Holy Spirit inside of me, and I want to be saved. I want you to be my Lord and to live in me. So help me learn to live like you, Christ. So I give you my life, and it's in Christ's name alone that I pray. Everybody said amen? Amen. And God, for all of us, teach us to live in your ways. We would honor you, and that we'd experience every spiritual blessing, that we can give every spiritual blessing this week. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.